is a reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 15. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believe and so I spoke," we also believe and so we speak, knowing that he who raised Jesus, the Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that the grace extends to more and more people, it may increase in thanksgiving to the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Please stand with me for the reading of the gospel. This is the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Man, you can get comfy. If I was to kind of title some of my thoughts today, on the top of my notes, it says, "Feeling shaky." I find right now that I'm feeling like almost compelled to ask over and over. And I feel like people are asking me over and over. And like I hear people asking each other over and over, "How are you?" Like it's this sense in which we all know that nobody's really just great and fine. Like we're all a bit like, and the question is a good one. I think it comes from a beautiful place, but it actually gets a little much because most of us actually don't know how to answer the question right now. There's just ways in which it's kind of like, well, that's a big question. Like, you know, how are you? And I hear it. It's just over and over again. This question is pretty loaded, but especially in this past 6 months, it just feels like, wow. I don't know if you're on things like Instagram, Facebook, those kind of things, but if you are, you've probably seen, like I have, the number of posts just completely like cursing 2020. You know, like it's all in like funny, but it's just like, oh, 2020. And then it just lists like what a year this has been, right? People are just like, this is insane. This is nuts. There's this general sense in which we're either just like adamantly letting the world know that we're done with 2020, or we're trying to kind of do it through laughter, through humor. But the reality of it, it's been kind of an unprecedented season. I do think this question of how we're doing is an important one. Even if we could potentially maybe ask it a little less frequently. My wife has said that to me a few times. I think you need to stop asking me how I'm doing, right? Because it's just like, there's this sense in which I just don't have a clear sense of this. And as I was kind of contemplating it in light of coming together today and coming out of a couple weeks of holidays and back into our fall, this question hit me. I just thought, are you feeling shaky? Are you feeling a little bit like, I don't know? As we head into the fall, things certainly feel different. Typically in our Canadian kind of Western climate, right now is the time that we move into some stability, right? We kind of come out of our, especially on the West Coast, I find even more than most of Canada, we go into summer mode hard, right? So right about now, I find typically people are excited to come back in out of that. Like, it's been great, but I'm needing a little bit of like connection again. I'm needing some rhythms back. Can we please get the kids back to school? Like, and not even just like in the sense of my own kids, but just as a communal world, can we get the kids back to school? Because the whole thing is just sort of starting to feel like it's coming off the rails here. Like, so fall often feels like this return back to quote unquote normal, right? Back to sort of some stability, some rhythm. But it's interesting this year, that's not what we're experiencing. So as we come back into that same need or that same desire, we're being met instead with sort of a weird September. We're being met with, you know, school being really unsure what it's going to look like for kids. Lots of people in their work environments wondering, having to completely shift and reshape. Anthony and I were just talking even about like his world specifically. His world, but the worlds he touches through work. How do we do this? Having to figure everything out as if they're startups again, you know? Heading into fall and not returning back to a sense of rhythms that are familiar, places that are normal for us, but really kind of a bit unnerving, and it can leave us feeling a little bit shaky. I think part of the reason for that is that in the past 6 months especially, but throughout this year so far, we've experienced copious amounts of change. And change is always hard. Some of the most stressful things you can do in your life, they say, are things like get married. It's really awesome until like the next day and you realize, oh, my whole world just changed. And you can see people through that first year enjoying it, but also feeling the stress of the change, right? Moving. Most people, not until they're in the middle of the move, realize how stressful it's been for them or how much it takes. Change is, it's hard on us. Our systems don't really handle it as well as we think. I think that's part of the problem. We think we're fine with change. Change is hard. And this whole kind of situation we've been in has had copious amounts of it attached to it. We've been experiencing tons of it, and we've been experiencing it not even just in one aspect of our life, but across the full breadth of our life. It's touching home, it's touching school, work, church, social things. If you were part of a gym, or you were part of a sports team, or you had plans to be at a conference, or all these things have completely had to undergo change. The way we're connecting so much over things like Zoom when we would have been together in a room, or trying to, you know, where it gets a little more real, we just trying to get married or to have a funeral, or these kind of, like, just everything, nothing seems to sort of just be expected or normal. There's a ton of change. Change, and the things that precipitate the change, like a lot of the change we're experiencing right now, we wouldn't have chosen. It's change that's sort of been inflicted on us. We have to make these changes. It causes the impacts that change has on us, and just the very nature of change. Change being all of a sudden there's parts of life that are unknown and unforeseeable, and just all these kinds of things, they can leave us feeling shaky. By that I mean unsettled, anxious, worried, afraid, really unsure. These kinds of things can start to kind of mark even the smallest bits of our day, but when they all add up, we start to realize that just in general, there's parts of many people's lives right now that just feel shaky. Is there anything that we can do about that? Good question. Lately, I've heard a lot of people sort of try and deal with this shakiness by sort of just putting it in a category that sounds something like this. But there's really nothing I can do about it, so, right? It's just sort of this, we'll just kind of trivialize it, and like, you know, you'll hear somebody start to talk about what they're experiencing, and they'll just stop and say, but I mean, we're all feeling that, so I mean, whatever, right? As if somehow doing that is, it's a way of sort of like putting it over in this compartment that just says, I'm really powerless in this situation, so there's no point really even thinking or addressing it. And it just, let's just kind of wash it away. And in a way, I think what we're saying is, let's just put our heads down and hope that when we lift them back up, this is over, right? In a way, it's sort of saying, this is shaky, it's hard, but I'm not sure there's anything we can do about it. Well, I fully understand where people are coming from in wanting to do that. I think this morning I just want to suggest and to say with some confidence that there's actually something that we can do, something really significant that we can do, something that will actually change what we're feeling. That will actually move us from feeling shaky to feeling established, to feeling confident. To do that, I want to dig in a little bit to the analogy from the gospel reading today, this construction analogy that Jesus uses at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. After sharing this profound set of teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses like a really simple, basic construction analogy to suggest that those who've listened to him, those who have encountered him, take seriously the things that he's put before them, the things that he's shared with them. And you know the passage I read potentially quite well. It's very simple. He says, it's kind of like this. If you take the things that I've shared with you seriously and you live into them, you live out of them, it would be like a man who built a house on rock. And when the rains come and the winds come and the floods come, that house stays right where they put it. It's not taken out by these kind of natural phenomena that come, right? He says, but if you don't, that's like a man who builds his house on sand. And when the very same things hit it, it falls, and Jesus kind of puts this exclamation point in the end, and great is its fall. Like it comes down in a blaze. And if you've even watched the news lately, we've been praying for parts of our world that have experienced some pretty crazy storms and things, and you can see the pictures of houses just leveled. You know, it's that kind of picture where the it's great as its fall. Like the devastation is nothing to be taken lightly. When Jesus makes this analogy, ultimately what he's doing is he's offering himself to people who in life feel a bit shaky. But he's offering himself and his way as an answer to that shakiness. To say, I can be for you a foundation. Notice something really important in this gospel passage that Jesus points to. He knows, he's sure that life is going to try and shake you. No matter where you build your house, Jesus says, rain will fall, floods will come, winds will blow and threaten to destroy the house. And in the analogy, of course, we're not talking about a house. We're talking about our lives. Jesus knows that the world is going to come and things like COVID-19 are going to happen. He knows that we will walk through life and things will happen inside of our relationships and our plans and all they're going to feel like an assault against us. And they're going to have the potential to knock us totally off our rocker. Like just to bring us and to shake us. But honestly, the fall will be great that to shake us, but the threat is real. That it could shake us to the point of total destruction. That we could completely get wiped out. Jesus knows that life is hard. He doesn't kind of shy away from that. I think it's important to pay attention to that. COVID-19 and all of the, you know, the virus itself feels like not even as much the hard thing as it is all that it has caused. Not a surprise to our God. But the good news is that though it shake us, it need not knock us down. Jesus can be for us a firm foundation. The God, the creator who made us, can actually sustain us. It's one of the things we prayed in worship today. We celebrated that he's a God who didn't just make us, but he can hold us. No matter how hard the shaking gets, Jesus can hold us firm. And so a couple things to think about if you're feeling shaky. First of all, know that if you're feeling shaky, you're in good company. You're feeling shaky because you're being shaken. I think there's a part of us that wants to try and like downplay it. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm like, well, that's funny because you're getting shaken. Like it, you know, it's like the guy who builds his house on the rock and the rain and the floods and the wind is blowing and he's pretending it's like a beach day. Like Jesus isn't calling us to that. He's saying it's okay. We saw this coming. It's why we built the house where we built it. Right? So the first thing to recognize is that as you head into this fall, if things feel a little bit shaky, if they feel a little bit tentative, if you're not sure about things, man, you're in good company. And you are ultimately in great company with a God who's not surprised by that, who's ready to stand with you in the middle of that. In 2 Corinthians, the passage that Sarah read for us, Paul leans into this when he talks about the fact that he was afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. When we read it, sometimes we just focus on the but not. I think we just take a minute, though, and recognize he's admitting that all of the first parts of those equations were his life. He was afflicted, perplexed. I love that one. That one is probably my big one right now. I feel that multiple times every day. I see something else happens, right? I'm like just perplexed. I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. How does this work? How do we move forward from? There's a perplexing, right? These things were true of Paul's life, but so true is the fact that though he was afflicted in every way, he was not crushed. Though perplexed, he was not driven to despair. Though he was persecuted, he was not forsaken. And though he was struck down, he was not destroyed. So first of all, know that if you're feeling shaky, you're in good company. Both in that we're all feeling that. And secondly, because there's a God who's present to you in the midst of that. Secondly, if you're feeling shaky and you're tempted to put your head in the sand, don't. If you're feeling shaky, don't hide or check out. Secondly, don't put your trust in men. Our temptation can be to either check out or sort of ignore the things that are happening, or it can be to start to look to men for our answer. So we start to look to the government to make sure we're going to be okay, right? Well, CERB just ran out. So there's a whole lot of people around you right now who are realizing, that's not, you know, and we start to realize like that these are not our answers to this shakiness, right? Even like little things, like as kids go back to school, let's love and serve administrations and teachers. Not put the pressure on them to sort of like fix this or take away the shakiness of what it feels like to go back to these places. So there's way those kinds of things. But even to each other. And when I say don't put our trust in men, it mean ourselves as well. To not fall into the place of feeling like if you're feeling shaky, you need to somehow dig deep and just get a grip. That you need to somehow firm up your foundation on your own. My guess is it won't work. And finally, don't give up. Don't roll over and just sort of think, I'm done. You don't need to do those things. And instead, I'll give you two thoughts. First of all, if your foundation is in Jesus, if you are one who's put your faith in Christ and you're feeling shaky, then given the words of Christ today, I want to encourage you to maybe think about what it looks like to reinforce the structure. If your house is already on rock, but you can feel it moving, you can feel it shaking, to take some time and to consider what it would look like to address why the house, the structure itself, is moving as much as it's moving. Maybe ask yourself, how is my relationship with Jesus? The one who is my foundation, on whom my life is set like a house on rock. What does your prayer life look like? What kind of time are you spending in the Word of God? Are you making space, heart, body, soul, spirit, for the sacrament to come to the table and to meet with Jesus, to receive him in every part of your life? How is your relationship with Jesus? Secondly, are you living in the way of Jesus? I love that this analogy comes right at the back end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, here's some things to think about as you navigate and walk through this thing called life. What have you done with what Jesus has called you to, has put in front of you? And I encourage you in seasons like this to continue to pursue, to learn the way of Jesus and to live in the way of Jesus. I love that same passage that Sarah read for us. Paul says after he said, this is my life and the things that I'm dealing with, the things that I've gone through. He says in verse 10, I always carry in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in my body. It heralds back to Jesus' encouragement to us that to be disciples of Jesus, to put that house on rock, is to die to ourselves, to be joined with Christ in his suffering. And so in these places where you're afflicted and perplexed and shaken, to meet Jesus there in those places. To know that you have a God who even sympathizes, he understands, he experienced affliction. He experienced persecution. He experienced shaking. I mean, if you even look at the temptations, he was shaken, like shaken. But how does Jesus come out of that shaking so solid, so firm? He's set on a foundation. There's nothing you can throw at him that ultimately would knock him off his game, knock him off his feet. And so we too always need to carry in us the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in us. So it's not about somehow not being impacted, not being shaken, not feeling or experiencing the hardship or the challenges of a season like this. In fact, I think it's about leaning into them and meeting Jesus there. Are you sharing the journey? So how is your relationship with Jesus? Are you living and learning the way of Jesus? And finally, are you sharing this journey? You weren't designed to do this alone. Me and Jesus actually isn't enough by design. That he created us to walk in union with one another. And the church is a gift when we're being shaken. That the people of God, one of the things Paul talks about when he describes the church constantly is that the nature of the church, it's very designed by God's hand, is that he gives spiritual gifts to the church for its building up. So we come back again to this construction analogy, right? So this reinforcing happens as we share with one each other, hey, I'm being shaken today. Like we just got some news about finances and we're feeling shaken. We just got some news about a loved one who's ill and we're feeling shaken. We just found out that there's changes coming at work, that there's unforeseen things happening at school and it's really throwing the kids off. That we share these kinds of things with each other so that we can stand together in the oneness of the church, stand together in the oneness we have in Christ. So stand together. That foundation is actually a shared foundation. The picture isn't of a whole bunch of individual houses on a whole bunch of individual rocks. There's only one rock. And we, because there's only one rock, are one. We are all one body, for we all share in the one bread. But together we come, and when we come together in that oneness, something happens of a reinforcing. So I want to encourage you, if you're feeling shaken, don't just kind of tough it out. Don't put that in the category that says, I'm being shaken, but it's not near what some other people are being shaken. So I'm just going to kind of keep that to myself. Feel free to share that with one another and to come together. And also as the church, to look around you and to see where people are being shaken and to come to those places with the good news of Jesus. And in that way, to, in a sense, bring the church to people. That they would be able to encounter and be invited into and a way made for them to put their house, to put their lives on a firm foundation in a season that is certainly seeking to shake people in all sorts of ways. So if your house is on the rock, I encourage you today to just be in prayer, and even as families, and talk with your kids. Bring this into the gospel. If your kids are feeling shaky, talk to them about Jesus. Bring them around the gospel. And spend time as families finding a way to speak to the shaking from a place of concrete assurance. Like, let your kids hear that. We're gonna be okay. And I know this is hard. Jesus knows this. Why don't we talk to him about that? Reinforce the structure. Recognize where it's sitting. Secondly, if your life is not on that rock, if you would hear that analogy, you'd hear those words, Jesus, and realize that your life is not set on Jesus, that it's not in the way of Jesus, that your faith is not in Jesus, that your hope is not in Jesus, then the encouragement and the invitation to you today is a beautiful one. It's to make a move. It's not an easy one in some respects, because you have to walk away from what you've been constructing. It can't just be reinforced. The problem actually is what it's sitting on. And so you actually have to kind of, in some respects, abandon the project. Or maybe the picture is like those giant moving trucks that they put the whole house on and move it and drop it down somewhere else, you know? You actually have to make a decision to move and to change where it is that you've established life, where it is that you're looking. The reason why the shaking is knocking you off your moorings so much, Jesus would insist, is that the foundation's not capable of holding you. But the reality of it is you are being shaken, and the things that you're looking to hold you up and to keep you firm, they're not going to make it. And Jesus doesn't never point these things out to try and make us feel like failures. He's never pointing these things out to sort of say, well, you know, so you're doomed. He points them out with a heart of invitation to say, there's a different place to build, and there's a plot set for you. So the invitation today, if you're not firmly on the foundation of Jesus, is to pick up and to move, to come into the place of your inheritance, to come into the place set apart for you with Jesus, and to begin to build life there in that place. So I'm going to close us in prayer today. And I was in prayer this morning, I was reading Psalm 146, and I just want to pray it for us, because it's such a declaration of what I've been talking about, just the goodness of Jesus and what it looks like for us to find our foundation to be firmly set in Jesus. And so I just want to pray Psalm 146 over you. And as I do too, I'm going to be prophetically just praying that out over our city. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, on that very day that his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. And the Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen.